Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Juliette Sims, and I am from Prevention Institute. And today I'll be talking a little bit about how those of us who do policy advocacy sort of take all this data and information and translate it into advocacy and action. I have no relationships to disclose. So at the beginning of this presentation, Lisa talked a little bit about the interagency working group, and I'll give a little bit more background because Prevention Institute was heavily involved in advocacy around this. Prevention Institute staff Strategic Alliance. It's California's statewide network of food and activity advocates. And through that work, we do a lot of advocacy tied to food policy at the state and local levels, as well as the national level. And with that background, we were very excited, like our partners, when the interagency working group began compiling voluntary, uniform, evidence-based principles on food marketing to kids. So they were recommendations that covered 2 to 17-year-olds, and they did sort of two things. One is foods that would be marketed directly to children needed to contribute meaningfully to a healthful diet. So, you know, they needed to have, you know, protein or low-fat dairy, fruits, vegetables. And they also needed to minimize nutrients that have a negative impact on health, which Lisa talked about, trans fat, saturated fat, sodium, and added sugars. So when these standards came out, we began, you know, busily reviewing them to put our comments together to submit to the interagency working group, as did our partner organizations. And the food industry began compiling their comments and their work as well. Immediately, we started to see a lot of news coverage against the voluntary principles. I know in 2011, the food and advertising companies spent around $51 million lobbying, and they did a few other things that really targeted legislators and policymakers during the whole interagency working group effort. One was that they released a report showing that 74,000 jobs would be lost tied to the standards. I'm not going to go into the critique of this report because that's not the focus here, but there are critiques online, and it was heavily critiqued. They also issued white papers claiming guidelines violate the First Amendment. And they also targeted the public, so I'll just give a little bit of background around the sort of messages that were coming from the food and advertising industry, teaching kids to love TSA and hate Tony the Tiger, curtains for Captain Crunch, food nannies to banish colorful cartoons, characters from cereal boxes. So you started to see kind of a government overreach, nanny state argument coming up. Diet dictators attack on consumer choice and free speech, sort of ramping the rhetoric up. Time to stockpile Lucky Charms. Some of the articles really got at that idea that this was a ban. We've seen that in other food policy debates as well. And, you know, this wasn't a ban. It was a voluntary set of nutrition standards. Bureaucrats, keep your hands off Tony the Tiger. And the Sensible Food Policy Coalition, which was an industry front group in this whole debate, talked about getting rid of Tony the Tiger and other menaces. And then finally, don't let Uncle Sam shoot Tony the Tiger. So it all came down to Tony the Tiger, really. But you know, you saw the rhetoric sort of move from, you know, discussion of government overreach to discussion of a ban to discussion of shooting Tony the Tiger. And you know, meanwhile, as industry was putting out those messages, we were busily working on our comments and getting our network, our national network, to support comments in support of the voluntary standards. These were the letters we were sending out to our networks. And at the same time, our opponents were putting together their arguments as well. And I just wanted to run through them because in our putting together an advocacy campaign, we really dissected and analyzed these messages. The standards are based on the notion that food advertising causes obesity in children, but a variety of research has failed to establish any such link. So they questioned the science. They questioned the evidence. Advertising censors insist children need to be protected from the food industry because parents aren't up to the task. So this was, you know, framing that really said, you know, food policy advocates are undermining parental authority. The regulations will improperly restrict constitutionally protected speech. Frankly, the standards they issued this summer would make American grocery stores like those old Soviet bloc stores. So this is, I mean, there's freedom and sort of capitalism framing happening here that really links to important values that, you know, that we all hold. And Frosted Flakes will no longer be allowed to sponsor Little League Baseball. So back to Tony the Tiger, and this sort of gets at the idea of good corporate citizen and that companies are really trying to do good. So, you know, we, our networks and our partners' networks generated over 28,000 comments in support of the proposals out of 29,000 comments, so a lot of support. But what we were seeing was that with the lobbying and the aggressive opposition by the food and advertising industry in Washington, the standards were really in a dicey situation. And so we decided to take another tack, and that's when we created We're Not Buying It, our advocacy campaign. We decided we wanted something that could highlight the deception of food companies and generate awareness and public support for the guidelines, and we wanted to reframe the conversation to show how food marketing contributes to unhealthy eating. And an important piece of that is that we looked at some of the research looking at why individuals support food marketing policies and the kind of values that link to that support. And what it shows is that it's important for us as advocates to really highlight that connection between advertising and obesity or chronic disease, as well as to highlight the role of the food and beverage industry in that relationship. So we sort of crafted our messages with that in mind. Our key framing messages were to show that food marketing works, studies show it, and companies know it. The food and beverage industry may say they're trying to be on the side of health, but their actions show otherwise. And then that parents are really trying to do the right thing, and food companies should help make families eat better, not make it harder. And that was really us trying to flip that parental authority frame that the industry was using to say, hey, you know, parents can't do it all alone. They need the support of companies. So let's see. I'm gonna. Oh.
We hear a lot these days about how big food and beverage companies have our kids' best interests at heart. So why are they doing things like launching marketing campaigns disguised as charity right in our school? The food industry says who cares about our kids. But we're not buying it. There's a children's health crisis going on.
And alarming numbers of time.
It's greater in African American than
and experts agree, too much sugar, salt, and fat are at the heart of it. Food companies put sugar, salt, and fat into virtually everything they sell. They load it into fast foods and sodas. Even the everyday products they claim will make our kids healthy. And then they bombard our kids with thousands of ads every year. Almost all of them are unhealthy food.
The American Academy of Pediatrics calling for a ban on fast food television commercials during children's programming.
The food and beverage industry says it's up to us parents to make smart decisions. Then why are they spending $2 billion a year on characters like these?
Silly rabbit, tricks are for kids.
And the same parents are making the food packed with unhealthy ingredients is good for our kids.
It's not very, very loaded with fruit.
It has zero fruit. If you look at Zip runs out that 48% of the calories come from sugar. In fact, sugar is the primary ingredient in this product.
They even sneak their ads into our kids' favorite movies. Their mobile phones and computer games. If they really have our kids' best interests at heart, why are these powerful junk food companies lobbying the White House and Congress to stop even voluntary guidelines? Why are they suing our local health department?
The American Beverage Association is mounting a legal attack in California to New York.
And why are they behind state laws that stop parents from deciding how to protect our kids right in our own communities? The food industry says it's trying to be part of the solution. But we're not buying it. Parents don't decide what to market with other kids. Food companies do. Let's stand up to big business and hold them accountable.
I just can't get enough of it. Okay. So we paired that video with an advocacy letter targeting the president and agency heads saying you need to pass these, enact these guidelines quickly because Congress is really moving to make this much more difficult. And we got a lot of press, and you know, the coverage that we received really was successful in reframing the discussion to one that really focused on food marketing practices. We also received over 25,000 views of the video, thousands of signatures of support from parents and public health advocates. And one thing I wanted to highlight is that we were able to craft the video in a way that really allowed us to use it for this particular policy issue, but also in a way that will allow us to keep distributing it and have it apply broadly to a lot of other food policy issues. And after all of that effort, I wish I could say that interagency working group standards were enacted and were in place. That is not currently the case. Congress ultimately specified that a cost-benefit analysis of the IWG recommendations needed to be performed. But I didn't want to end on such a low note, so I did want to highlight that you know, we're continuing to share that video with communities we work with across the country, and it's really about those underlying messages that increase public support. It's about linking food marketing with chronic disease and showing that the companies are really responsible for some of that. So that's what we're continuing to push with our message, and we'll do in, you know, future policy opportunities.